Voice of Nigeria.
Hello world, welcome to Voni. My name is Matthew Akanimo Princewill, and today on A Convo with Map, I have a very special person in the studio with me. I wouldn't want to introduce him, so he can talk to you. You're welcome, my brother.
Thank you for having me. Basically, I go by the name Dobra, in full Ayuba Dobra Igbiriki, and I'm a polymath.
You're welcome to the show, my brother.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How have you been?
Yeah, I've been okay. I mean, I've been all right. I've been, you know, the weather has been hot in the morning, but now it seems cool.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I hope we can have a very deep conversation today.
I really hope we can. I was born in Lagos State, Nigeria.
Where in Lagos?
Ojo Barracks. Yeah, Ojo Barracks in Lagos State.
So you were born in Ojo Barracks?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And you're from?
I'm from Delta State, Nigeria.
Where in Delta State?
Ogbudu. Yeah. Or Ogbudu Creek. Yeah.
It sounds interesting. Tell me about it.
Well, it sounds interesting. Even to me, it's interesting because I've actually never been there. I've only heard stories from my father. Basically, Ogbudu Creek is more like it's closer to where a lot of oil drilling has happened, basically. So we are basically at the forefront of the experience in terms of, you know, oil spillage and the effects of oil spillage in our culture, basically, which is our way of life, which is fishing. I actually don't know how to swim or fish, but it was down to the stories I heard as a child. But yeah, that's the kind of childhood, or that's the childhood my father came from, which indefinitely I...
Tell me about some of the culture and way of life of your people.
The way of well, basically, we're fishermen.
I want you to tell me about the Ogbudu people, their culture, people, their way of life. If you know any, just... If I see someone, how can I know that they are from that place?
Okay, basically, if you see someone, the first is the language, Ijo.
You guys speak Ijo?
Yeah, we speak Ijo language, which, funny or sadly enough, I don't know a lot of it. It's a complex language to learn.
How do you say good morning?
What? Migwo. Migwo.
Migwo. Yeah, migwo. So guys, when you meet somebody who speaks Ijo, you tell them Migwo.
Yeah, Migwo. Yeah. So especially for elder ones, when you wake up in the morning and you're about to greet someone older than you, you say Migwo.
You have not told me about the culture and the way of life. Just briefly, in 60 seconds.
Okay. Like I said, if you are a child in Ogbudu, the two choices you have as a way of life, in terms of living, you either fish for a living or you farm. As you farm for like riverine crops, basically there are places just at the outskirts of the town where you can farm and whatnot. Things they believe in, it's actually a really, really small group of people that spread between two places, spread between Bayelsa and Delta State. So there was like a historical division, so to say, in terms of, you know, I think the Biafra thing. It affected the culture. It affected the people of the Ijo people, so to say. And they were scattered between Bayelsa and Delta State. So the ones who finally settled at Delta State, they had to discover a new way of life, so to say, because the origin was from Bayelsa. So they had to discover a new way of life to settle in Bori and to settle and to experience a new way of life in the riverine area of the Ogbudu Creek.
If I'm to take away two things from this conversation, the Ogbudu people, they are cultural people.
Okay.
A part of their way of life is they fish.
Yeah.
Fishing is a sustainable way of life there.
The idea basically for fishermen there is to get a huge catch. You have a huge catch and you go to the market, the Warri market, and you sell. You sell to people who buy from you, because you're basically close to the Atlantic and stuff. So it depends on how deep you can go. It depends on who you are as a fisherman, you get. So you can either go to the depths of the river, you get big fishes, or you get quantity fish. It depends. It's either size or quantity. So now you sell it at that scale. So it depends on your mind also.
You're from
Ogbudu Creek,
Creek, which is a region in Delta State.
Yes.
And you speak Ijo.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And all this is inside Nigeria.
Yes, inside.
So you're a Nigerian.
Yes, I'm a Nigerian, yes.
What makes you feel you're a Nigerian?
What makes me feel I'm a Nigerian? Well, first of all, I was born in the country. So I have an entitlement by birth to be nationalized as a Nigerian, which is obviously the idea of, you know, trying to place someone as a country citizen or whatnot. because personally, the idea of Nigeria or countries or regions or, you know, classifying human beings by regions, it's not something that I take so seriously, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings.
What are you most excited about being a Nigerian?
What I'm most excited about being a Nigerian? Well, I would say I'm most excited about my impute, what I can bring to the table. I think, I remember when I was young, very funny, I used to think maybe if I was to be the president of Nigeria, right? What should I do? How should I prepare myself to be the president of Nigeria? How should I treat myself to be the president of Nigeria?
What are you most optimistic and excited about,
I said,
being a Nigerian?
Like I said, it's about my impute, what I can give to the country as a nation. It's the fact that I can be entrepreneurial, I can create value for my nation anywhere I am in the world.
So you mean Nigerians are generally entrepreneurial?
I can also agree that, yeah, to be Nigerian is to be entrepreneurial too.
I have this question I always ask people, right?
Okay.
What is your ideal Nigeria?
My ideal Nigeria?
The perfect Nigeria in your head.
The perfect Nigeria in my head? Wow. Nigeria I want to see is a Nigeria where I can actually say I am from Nigeria to anyone at any time, and I feel proud to say it. Because I am proud to say my name is Dobra. At the same time, I want to be proud to say I am a Nigerian. And that simply boils down to the conversations people have about the country. I mean, if you look at news articles published about Nigeria, what are people saying about that image that Nigeria gives? You know, I want that image to also collateralize or mimic or mirror to an extent the morals and the principles I also stand for.
How are you helping
to make the
Nigerian, the ideal Nigeria, a reality?
How am I helping? Like I said, it's about my personal inputs. It's about like things I'm able to be a part of, like ideas I'm able to be a part of, value propositions I'm able to assist in fruition, coming to fruition. In fact, shows like this that talk about, you know, or exposes people to the existence of a nation like Nigeria and the existence of individuals, so to say, that come together to make the country a nation, so to say. My little contributions like this, to an extent, I feel I'm playing a big role in realizing what we can tomorrow say an ideal Nigeria.
Ayuba Dobra.
Yeah.
I want to take you away from the concentrated ideas.
Okay.
I know that you're into digital economy education.
Okay.
I want you to tell me about what you're doing in the space.
What I'm doing in the space in digital economy.
I know that you're affiliated with the brand Altblock. Like, what are you doing with the whole idea? Or what do you hope to achieve with the idea?
With the idea? Okay, basically.
And sorry, okay. Why did you go the route?
Why did I go
the route, and what are you hoping to achieve with it?
Okay, why did I go to the route of being involved in the digital economic space, the education in the digital economic space, and what I hope to achieve, basically? Okay, first of all, my reason is funny. I was actually scammed by a Nigerian, you know. I was scammed in trying to understand or trying to learn about the digital economy. I was trying to know what it means to own a cryptocurrency. As simple as that information was, I tried searching online. The information I was receiving, it felt too much. It was really hard to comprehend. So I needed someone to guide me, so to say. And this individual offered to, you know, assist me. It felt real. It felt like, okay, this is actually what I need as a beginner. But at the end of the day, it was kind of a fraud. But that inspired me. It inspired me in such a way where I felt I won't be the only one to feel this way, to feel like I need to learn something, or I need to be a part of something, or I need to understand the digital economy, starting from maybe cryptocurrencies and then extending to even artificial intelligence or the Internet of Things, or and even blockchain, and talking about now digital Africa. you know, I won't be the only one who would be wanting to, you know, learn the little basics and then improving to becoming a professional. So why not create an educational system that aims to first bring together professionals and, you know, package their information or package their knowledge in such a way where beginners who or enthusiasts who are interested in the digital economic space can, you know, feel the urge to learn in a fun way and in an easy way. And also at the same time, improving ideas and values, creating value, so to say, for Africa in the digital space in time to come.
Wow. Thank you very much for that. Like, I'm excited that we have people who are thinking in the line that you're currently thinking. So what do you think about the idea that we don't have a culture in Africa? There are a lot of culture,
okay,
but yet it seems like we don't have a binding factor that binds our culture, that makes, you know, people say, okay, Africans have rich culture, rich this and rich that, but among Africans, the cultures are a lot that it's unique. But somebody came on the show and said we are people of lost culture.
People of lost culture. Okay. So your question is?
My question is, what do you think about the idea that
we don't have
our own culture that we front? We don't have a global culture in Africa that we front.
Okay, that's as Africa, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's a complex thought process, basically. But, well, culture, first of all, I would have to start from there in order to understand how to approach it. Culture is a way of life. That's a simple fact. And then, if we're talking about, you know, sustaining culture or our current way of life, if we're talking about the traditions now, you know, in relation to culture, our current way of life is mimicking, or it's a direct mirror of how it used to be or how it should be for, you know, Africa. That's if we're trying to separate ourselves from the concept of the world or the concept of humanity. If we're trying to separate ourselves from that, if we're looking at that particular context, I would say no, we are not really traditional, African in a sense. Like, we don't have a sense of unison. But these days, in fact, going out of living Nigeria and experiencing a lot of people, like outside Nigeria, like experiencing a lot of people from different countries, from Rwanda, from Ghana, from, you know, Mozambique, from Zambia, a lot of people, like, from different nations, you end up realizing, like, I'm actually more African than I think. And I think the concept of Africa is not about the tradition. It's about the individual. And this color black, fuck, it's different. Like, I see why we feel the need to separate ourselves, because we feel different. We feel different. And even me living in a country like Algeria, take for example, Algeria is an African nation. But the one thing that you start feeling some type of way when you, especially in situations, you know, miscommunication, emotional miscommunication, so to say, when you are in a situation with an Algerian and your thought process suddenly starts moving towards racism. It feels weird. And why should that happen? Just because the color of your skin is different, but you are all Africans. So it's kind of weird at that point. It becomes too weird. So that's where I feel we shouldn't separate ourselves. We shouldn't separate ourselves for any reason.
I know that you're into cryptocurrencies and trading, and you're also into media. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
What is money?
What is money?
Yes.
Basically, money is a form of exchange for value. That's how I define money.
Money is a form of exchange.
Yeah. For value.
For value.
Yeah.
Then what is value?
Value is anything someone perceives as useful to them. Value is anything I can cherish for a moment or for eternity.
Value is anything someone cherishes. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, to cherish something simply means it gives you, it's an emotion basically. Value is an emotion. It's not, you can't touch value. It's how you feel about anything. If I'm using a pen to write something, to write what I think about as a poet, if I'm using a poem to write poems, at that point, the paper is valuable to me. The pen is valuable to me. And then how I achieve by getting a paper, I have to buy the book, or I have to buy the A4 sheet, or I have to buy the big, I have to buy the pen. And then, you know, I start thinking of, okay, which pen makes my writing look better, you know, going into the technicals. But yeah, that's the kind of understanding between money and value.
How do you create value?
How do you create value? Basically, I think it starts from how, from personal perspective, I would say, from my experience, things I need, because I know I'm a human being, and as a human being, there are things I require to perform some certain tasks. And if I feel I am in a position to make that thing available for, first of all, myself, and then I can make it available for more than myself, for people around me, and then extending from people around me to people around me. So, I mean, at that point, I can understand that, okay, if I can make it happen, why not? And that's value in itself.
Wow, you've said a lot.
Okay.
And when you were saying stuff, I just keep writing down some of the things you're saying, and I would start from the mildest.
Okay.
You made mention of being part of a scholarship program, mm-hmm. So which means you appreciate education.
Yes.
What do you think about education?
What I think about education, is very necessary, is very essential, because an educated, passionate human being can do anything.
When we were talking about education, I was just listening. Do you feel education should be broken down to the smallest form?
Of course, education needs to be understood by the student. Like, you have to understand what you're trying to learn. Like, and if you're not understanding it, it simply means the pattern of education you're going, or the route of education you're going by, trying to understand what you want to understand, it's not basic enough for you. Your mind is not strong enough to hold it, so you need to go as basic as you can.
Then what is this education that you're talking about? You're emphasizing the value of the substance. What is that substance? What is this education that you're talking about? In my own thinking, education is information.
Of course, yeah.
There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
Let's forget about grammatic expression of education. Mm-hmm. Let's look at what it means.
Of course.
It's just information.
Exactly.
And basic information is free.
Uh-huh.
The information you need to transform your life into whatever is free.
Yeah.
But what you need to be able to spot information is exposure.
Of course.
And this is what is lacking in so many systems. People are not being exposed. Like, why I'm saying this is because we had a conversation earlier about cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
And cryptocurrencies may have changed people's lives in the Western world.
Mm.
Not so much in Africa.
Mm.
Why was it so? Education.
Mm-hmm.
Which means information. The information that was available to them at that time, and this was not long ago, I think, let me just say 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Why people were having this information, there were other people who were not even aware, who were not exposed to the level to even understand that an information like that can exist.
True. I mean, there was actually an article I came by that said, like, there is a flood of information, like, around us, right? But a whole lot of people are just exposed to 2% of it, like 98% of information that is still available for people to actually harness and, you know, be of importance to themselves, and then even extending to their families, and then extending to the society, and then extending to a nation. 98% of that information has not been harnessed, and it is out there because people, podcasts like this have information like that can actually change somebody. And then the ability for information like this to get out to the right people, the people that actually need it, the people that need to listen to it, because obviously every information is made for someone, and there's a target audience for everything. And if this each information is able to get to each every target audience, I'm very certain there's a teacher somewhere in her room or in her classroom or in her office, wherever, trying to make a syllable for a young kid who wants to, you know, be something. You've asked this kid, what do you want to be? And the kid is like, I want to be a pediatrician, or I want to be a medical doctor, or I want to be a scientist, or I want to be an electrician, or I want to be a carpenter, or I want to be a painter, I want to be a photographer. You know, I know there's someone who has these experiences in these different facets of life, different facets or career paths, basically. And they are working on how to communicate what they know. So I think it's a sync between, that's what you're talking about, education. So there's availability of information already, and there's more to come. There's more, a whole lot more to come. And
Can I interrupt?
Okay, definitely.
If there's a kid,
okay,
you're a Nigerian,
okay,
and you've been a student.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything that needs to be changed about the Nigerian educational system, what would be some of those things that you feel needs to be changed to help the Nigerians, the young Nigerian, have adequate information to be able to choose a career path, or enough information to enable them to live on a standard level? What would be your advice?
Well, I would say, especially in terms of practicality, just going back to my primary school days, most of the events I can recall off the top of my head, you know, are events that dealt with practicals, are events that dealt with practical emotions, you know, maybe in, what's it called, in a dance, in a room, trying to learn how to dance. I mean, the tutor, the person who is teaching you how to dance, is correcting you. Okay, you're making a move. It's not the right move. This is how you're supposed to do. And such information has been able to stick with me for a long period of time. So now, one thing I would say, if I'm going to correct or give an advice, basically, especially to like the schooling system in Nigeria. In Nigeria, there are some key things some schools are already infusing in kids, which is amazing. I think there is just a bridge, a gap between the private educational systems and the public educational systems. So I think one thing is the public educational systems need to put a lot of effort. Like, it's about effort. Like, it's about effort, to be honest. Like, if it's now an effort, it only comes from passion. You see, it only comes from passion, to be honest. And I'm getting emotional, guys.
You're allowed to be emotional. Because you know why I'm saying this thing?
Mm.
I went to a primary school. We had a computer laboratory, but it wasn't effective.
Mm.
I went to... You know, I'm saying this because there are still kids I know in that same situation that I went through.
Mm.
How can we help? Like, I know you're doing the all block with the cryptocurrency and digital economy education.
Mm-hmm.
How are you hoping to infuse what you're doing into educating a child,
mm-hmm.
educating a young child on basic technological skills?
I mean, at this point, if you're 18 and above and you're passionate about digitization, the blockchain ecosystem, artificial intelligence ecosystem, the digitization of Africa, and then the digitization of Africa in general, if you're 18 and above and you're interested in this, I indulge you to actually go to oldblock.com, check out the interface, try to access Oldblock TV on YouTube. At this point, any video you watch, leave a comment, and then I know you're passionate. Leave us a DM on Instagram. I'm always ready to respond to you. Talking about how we're going to package these things, it's a long-term thing. Oldblock is here for the next generation. It's a 100 years dream. It's more than even Oldblock itself. It's for the people who are passionate about it to keep going. It's for us.
Before I close the curtain, what is the one thing that you can say you have seen that needs to be done,
okay,
for us to have valuable people, like people with value, people who are constantly craving value, people, okay, who are constantly creating ways that value could be appreciated, value could be distributed? What is one way that you think we can do things that would help us start producing people in these areas, who in these areas of change?
This is one thing we can do. Like, from saying we, are we talking about like
everybody?
Yes, you, individuals,
the government, everybody.
Every Nigerian is not a lawyer, and you damn not try to tell me that every Nigerian has to be a lawyer or has to get a lawyer to understand why he's a Nigerian. So it simply means everyone who has been able to understand the concept of Nigeria, a true Nigerian, the morals and principles of a true Nigerian, how are you communicating this information? Where are you putting them out? And how can Nigerians access them? And if this is a platform for it, why shouldn't every Nigerian listen to it?
I appreciate your energy. I'm educating myself. This is the education we're talking about. You know, education is as simple as watching one YouTube video.
Exactly. Yeah.
Education is as simple as reading the articles in your neighborhood. Education is as simple as speaking to the guy next door. Education can be you just listening to the way somebody speaks. I employ people to figure out what are the simplest way we could use to educate people in our communities. There are people who can't read and write the way some people can. There are people who can do really complex stuff, and there are people who can do just basic stuff. How can we get the guy who can do the basic stuff to be very educated in doing basic stuff, and get the guy who can do complex stuff to be very educated to do complex stuff, and make sure that the education they have would enable them live together without separation or segregation? That is how I feel education should be. Education should be, the word education should be stripped down to information. I feel the information you possess as a human being. You know, people always quantify money to be the item that makes somebody be in society. But like you have defined money, that's why I asked you to define money. Money is just a byproduct of value. If you're creating value, money comes. Okay, so I feel that how you know if somebody is important is the amount of information they contain within them, because that information is going to show in their businesses, in the way they live their life, that is going to create value, which will give them a byproduct of money. Thank you very much, Dobra. It was amazing talking to you on this subject. I know you actually have a platform where you do spiritual stuff.
Exactly.
I say spiritual stuff because I listen to them.
Okay.
Like, they make me meditate. They help me meditate. They make me know that sometimes you need to be sober. You need to be in tranquility. You need to be in absolute privacy. And just understand how your mind works, the strength that your mind possesses. I want to ask you, what is love?
What is love?
Or how do you relate with the subject of love?
Of love. Love. Love is a tricky subject, but it's an emotion, obviously. So emotion is not to be understood. Emotion is to be felt.
Well, what are your ideologies around love?
Love is nature, because love is what formed us. If there was no love, I don't think human beings would have even existed. Because even the expression of, you know, lust comes from love. Lust is also natural, you know, and the physical expression of that, you know, is what creates another human being. So I think we already have what we are, a full expression of love. It's very complex to define.
Okay, since you spoke well about love, now I want to ask you something else. What are your ideologies around fear?
Also, a tricky emotion too. But fear is not tricky. Huh? Fear is very straightforward. And it's also natural. It's a natural instinct. It comes out of experience too. But it's just safety. It's a safety net for you. Fear is a safety net for you. Like, that's the only thing you run back to when you feel powerless. When you feel you can't do anything, you have to be scared. You can't even control it. It comes to you. You are scared. Sometimes when you're like, who am I going to be in the next 5 years? You start feeling fear, especially when you're not educated enough. You don't have the right information to things you are passionate about. So at that point, you feel fear. Or maybe you're in a school, you're trying to study a course. You're trying your best to understand what you're reading. But you are not just understanding. You feel scared, like, I'm going to fail the exams.
So, I want to ask you, what is the relationship between fear and being scared?
And being scared. Okay, fear is from within, and being scared is from outside. Things that come at you that you can't actually control, that's scared, actually comes to frighten you.
Let's move away to music now.
Okay.
You make music, right?
Yes, I'm an artist. I'm a music artist too. Yes.
What kind of music do you make and why do you make music?
What kind of music I make and why do I make music? Okay, the kind of music I make basically comes from two sides. Yeah. One side as a philosopher and the other side as a romantic, so to say. You know, thinking from the perspective of the romantic. So those are the two sides I come in. And then you said, why do I make music? Okay, first of all, I've always loved miming to rhythm. You know, I listen to a lot of songs and then I end up not even singing what the guy is singing. I end up like making my own rhymes or rhythms from what he's saying. And I didn't even take it seriously for a long time. I kept doing that. Over the years, with recent happenings and the decision to make music came from the fact that I saw the value. It's valuable to me because I want to actually hear myself. I want to listen to my own music. I want to listen to the message I have to say. I saw it as a form of self-therapy. I saw it as a form of, you know, speaking into existence what you want to happen. And, you know, thinking about the possible future. And then a lot of people want to wake up in the morning and, you know, feel something. They want to feel an emotion. And if my voice can convey a good emotion at the end of the day, I feel I'm blessed to be in that position.
Wow. Let me bring in some spice.
Okay.
Since we're talking about art, music and all.
Yeah.
There's this rage out there. The big boom. What can you tell me about NFTs since you're into art?
NFTs are actually very interesting. NFT as an ecosystem is actually in itself interesting. Because first of all, it's in the blockchain, you know. So NFTs, the future of NFT is wild. Right now, if you want to prove that you own a piece of art, you have to go through a lot of centralized bodies. But now NFTs come to make ownership much more decentralized. And now any piece of art that you want to own, you made, you can simply put it on the blockchain, put the information about the piece of art, and that certifies that you own it. If you are selling to someone else, definitely the person has to buy it through the blockchain ecosystem. You can't go through a natural means to get something that is on the blockchain. You have to come to the blockchain and get whatever piece of art you want. For artists, it has already been available in different marketplaces. You can get different various types of art there, physical art. And then as music artists, there are even platforms that are now available where you can go get pieces of art. If this podcast was to be streaming as an NFT, you would have to listen to it as an NFT. So, I mean, that's what NFT can do.
How can I make this podcast an NFT?
It depends. There are platforms that already offer streaming services. That's not very confirmed. There are platforms that already offer, that's blockchain platforms, right? That already offer streaming services. I think there's one, Audios or Audible, I can't remember.
Audios,
yeah. They offer streaming services. So you can put podcasts like this on platforms like that. Although primarily created for music artists, but we should also keep in mind that anything that is created for music artists is simply not because of the music but because of the audio, because podcasts are actually a new innovation in the sound industry, in the sound entertainment industry. Podcasts are much more recent, so the thoughts was previously put towards music artists like music, but now also every platform that can distribute music can distribute podcasts. Think of Spotify. They partner with podcast streaming platforms like Anchor or something.
Anchor.
Yeah, Anchor. So they do streaming services and you can actually get them on Spotify. Why? Because that's the new link. So the same thing applies to the decentralized space too. There are platforms that will be offering streaming services like Audios and many more, which I'm sure should be available. If not, I guess we should try to create them. Services like that. And then the link to NFT play stores, you can buy the, if you buy this, you maybe you buy access, maybe the NFT could be access. You buy the access and then you can stream the platform here. Or if the NFT is part, maybe there's an interview with someone like Jay-Z, and in order to listen to the NFT or listen to the podcast, you buy the NFT. So it depends on the community and also it depends on, you know. Yeah, but this is possible. It's possible to stream this as an NFT. That's just the idea.
A few more questions then. I'll call it a day because you're beginning to look very tired.
Okay.
So, you seem to have a lot of ideas in terms of technologies, right?
Okay.
So, I want you to give me three technologies and you tell me three countries that those technologies could be best applied according to their system.
Three technologies?
Yes, and where they can best function.
Three technologies that I can infuse in three parts of the world. I'll choose to take Africa, and I'll first mention Nigeria. And talking about blockchain, artificial intelligence, and Web3. These are things that can really, really help in terms of problems like job creation and then governance. I mentioned two problems there. And yeah, and even data management, so to say. That's the aspect of governance, I mean. Although these things need to be facilitated by constant power supply, so I would really, really indulge that. So now looking at job creation, I'll just mention something new that just came up in the blockchain industry. It's called AI art, where programmers go on platforms and they make art from AI. So they put in strings of command, trying to imagine a scenario, and AI creates the art. You can tell the AI to create heaven, and the AI creates heaven, shows you a picture of heaven, and then you can go copyright the art, and you can put it in the marketplace and you sell it. Because those things, you own them, but the AI created them for you. So that's a sector of job creation on its own, just something new. That's how evolved the economy is in terms of Web3, and that's why I feel I indulge, like, you know, a country like Nigeria to look into Web3. Imagine if different sectors in Nigeria, our websites are located more on the Web3 interface, and then we are performing some, data transmission, sending and receiving data, signing of data and whatnot via the blockchain, you know. Yeah, Congo, I think there's a key raw material that they have there, even gold too. They have gold there, they are raw materials and whatnot. Imagine if the government of Congo, well, I hope the thing is about putting in the work. So if the government of Congo can be able to create a way to use your own tools, have a company that will be able to bring out those raw materials from the ground, get a data print for that, and establishing it on a blockchain. I'm still trying to look at how blockchain can assist, you know, a government like Congo. And then looking at, okay, we're trying to create a currency for Africa. This is just an idea, right? Trying to create a currency for Africa to improve trade, inter-Africa trade or whatnot. You know, if every country in Africa, you know, has their own individual blockchain in the Web3 space, which is either private blockchain or public blockchain, depending on the choice of the government, you know, as long as it is interlinked or interrelatable by smart contracts, if we have a unique, you know, African currency, it's going to really, really ease trade. And that can improve the economy of Africa in general, without even involving any external body or any external factor, you know. It improves the economy of Africa, it keeps the circulation of money in Africa, first of all, and then we can decide, you know, how we can, you know, use the African currency in places like the European Union and whatnot. So, yeah, these are just little ideas. I don't know if I was able to answer the question, kind of, but I think I pointed on a few things.
I really appreciate you coming around. I really appreciate you taking your time to educate me on some of the things I need to be aware of, because whatever you're saying it to me. And like I said, education could come from just listening to someone speak. Mm. So you're educating me. Mm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you to do something.
Okay.
If you were to picture yourself in another kid, a young growing kid,
okay,
what would you say to them in 2022? Your younger self.
My younger self.
In 2022, what would you say to your younger self in 2022?
As a kid, come on, play, man. Play, keep playing. I used to play a lot, sure. So I used to joke around a lot. So just keep playing, you know, guys. But while you're playing, while you're having fun, while you're joking around, you know, those are things that get you acquainted to experience. Get yourself hurt, but don't get too hurt, you know. Experience things. It's about the experiences you have. That's what gets you closer to information. That's what gets you closer to, you know, the right energy that is meant for your destiny.
You at the age of 5,
okay,
between 5 and 10,
okay,
what would you say to the younger you in 2022?
In 2022, just keep focused. Like, it's about focus. As a kid, while you're playing, you don't have a choice. Like, you always play, you're a kid. Don't be too much of yourself, you're a kid. But, you know, focus also on what you want. If your mom has asked you sometime, who do you want to be? And you tell your mom, I want to be the president. Stick to it. Remember, try your best to remind yourself. You don't have to wait for mommy to come and tell you who do you want to be tomorrow again. Tell yourself every day who you want to be. And I'm telling you, you become that.
Thank you very much, my brother. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you coming today. I'm sure I'm going to always bring you back. So I think this is where I'm going to call it a wrap. But before then, I would like to take some time and just speak. We've had conversations ranging from education, love, fear, spirituality, nature, and religion. In summary, all this conversation is to enlighten our mind about this subject. When you hear spirituality, what does it mean to you? When you hear nature, what does it mean to you? When you hear religion, what does it mean? In my own summary, I want to urge you to find the deep meaning to some of these things. When you hear education, what do they mean? What does it mean to you? For me, I feel education is information, and your ability to absorb as much information as you can is what makes you valuable as an individual. And if I'm to give a comment or my own perspective about Africa as a continent, I think love can heal Africa. If we try to spread love among ourselves, if we try to illuminate light to other people's lives, we can heal the continent. And for you to get information from somebody, there must be some interaction. And if the interaction is healthy, there's love. And that's where you get the purest form of information. I wouldn't want to take so much of your time. I'm sure on the next episode or on the next chapter, I don't know who the guest is going to be. We're going to go a step deeper into the conversation, because at the end of the day, this platform is created to create awareness and understanding and, above all, promote consciousness in the mind of an individual. Thank you very much. I remain MAP. And this is A Convo with MAP. See you next time.